Let's talk books now, and I'm joined by Director of Verb Wellington, Claire Mabey. Hi, Claire.
Hey, kia ora, Jesse.
Kia ora, how's it going?
Good, it's kind of freezing cold and raining here in Wellington, so tucked up indoors.
How's the bubble?
It's good, it's good. We've just the three of us still going. My partner's currently keeping our baby quiet downstairs. So,
oh,
yeah,
good for him.
Good.
Yeah, I must admit there have been times, there are lots and lots of downsides to this lockdown, but there have been times when Victoria and I have said to each other, you know, it's not the worst thing, having a baby inside, away from everybody and all their diseases for the first year of its life, you know. It really does feel like a bit of a bubble.
Totally. I feel like this is the healthiest we've been in a while.
Yeah, no running noses among our four children. That's incredible.
Yeah, that is incredible.
And yet, instead of just sitting there and watching, you know, animated movies, you've recently launched something at Verb Wellington. Do you have a minute to tell us about that?
Sure. Yeah, we've been trying to use this time wisely. While planning events and running events is a little more challenging, so we launched the Verb Community, which is a new online. Part of what we do, and it's a subscriber model, so you join up to Verb and you get certain benefits, so you help us support artists. So we're now publishing new writing every month by Aotearoa Writers, which is a really lovely thing to be able to do right now, is to pay writers for what they do best.
Yeah.
And there's some other benefits along the way if you're part of the community, so you get a bespoke reading list every month and little treats like that.
And what was, this is the only way I can think to ask this question, but what was the problem you were trying to solve? I guess it's a longer way of asking why.
Yeah, well, no, that's a good, we really wanted to keep in touch with our community, really. So the normal way is for us to all physically gather together and listen to a conversation and enjoy being in the same space. So I guess this is the digital version of that. It's keeping people chatting and appreciating books and writing and ideas together in the same space. It's just more of a virtual space at the moment.
And that's even beyond lockdown, is it?
Yeah, it's been really fun. So I think it's something we'll keep going for sure, because it's a part of our ongoing plan to keep going in what I think is going to be quite different times. I think the way that we run arts organisations will change, so this is part of that ongoing plan. But also, it's another way of us communicating, and we're all in this together, really, to appreciate what writers and creativity does for us all, especially in tough times. So it's something that we see going on forever, really.
So you've managed to find some time to read during the lockdown too?
Yeah, I have to say, loving the extra time to read. And I've been in this kind of luxurious space of rereading, which is not something I get to do very often. So I've returned.
Such
to
a pleasure, eh?
It's been really special.
I've got one next to my bed that I'm rereading at the moment. It's a book of essays, and Victoria said to me the other night, why are you reading that if you've already read it? I said, there is something about turning to a book that you know and love just before you fall asleep that gives you something that you don't get from reading something new. I don't know what it is. It's comforting. You don't have to try quite so hard. You notice things that you didn't notice when you were sort of, you know, reading it to find out what happened next, basically.
Yeah, I think it's comforting, but also I think that, I don't know, I think it's aging, but there's some books that I return to as an adult in particular, and I just see things in them that I just didn't get before, and there's something really interesting about that. And really, that's what I love about books, is they don't kind of cease to be relevant. They're not a thing of the moment, they just keep on, they continue to find relevance, you know, as times change, which is a cool thing.
Yeah. By the way, just while I remember, for people who are interested in what I'm rereading at the moment, I started rereading it because I wrote about it. There's a website called NZ Poetry Shelf, and they asked 17 of us to pick what they called a book of comfort. And so I've written that for Paula Green, NZ Poetry Shelf, and you can read the picks from myself and Karen Hay and some other names that you might recognise. So you've been back on Elizabeth Knox's book, Claire.
Yeah, I reread The Absolute book, which was such a treat. And it just felt like it was the first book I kind of reached for as lockdown started, and it was the perfect book to be immersed in, because it's an extraordinary book for extraordinary times, and I think it needs your real full attention and immersion. And I just loved it, possibly even more than the first time I read it. And it's because it's the exact type of book where you continue to get more out of it the more you read it, because there is just simply so much in it. It's a real celebration of stories, this book, and I think it's, I really truly think it's a masterpiece. It's astonishing, the novel. It has such a beautifully optimistic end, and it gave me a massive boost. I think when things were not looking so great in New Zealand, it was a perfect, hopeful ending. I don't want to ruin it, but what Elizabeth does is offers a kind of vision for how we might save the planet, and it's completely beautiful. Yeah.
And she has a reputation as being, you know, one of the greats, and she has a very literary reputation, although I should say that I've talked to people who've read that book who aren't really literary readers, and they found it to be a page-turner. So I think it's I don't want people to get the impression from our conversation that it's the sort of book that you would need to read twice to get anything out of. It's at its heart.
No way.
Sounds like a great story.
Absolutely. It's a rip-roaring yarn as much as it is something that is deeply layered. So it's I couldn't put it down, because the pace of it is really fast. It's full of action, and it takes you into the most marvellous location. So it's definitely, I think it's a book that so many people would love. It's got this real sense of, like, British crime about it. There's a character in there that really reminds me of a kind of a crime series hero. But it's also got this, it's fantasy. It's also deeply rooted in real time. But it's essentially a massive adventure story, and it harks back to mythologies that we'll all know. Like, there's real echoes of King Arthur and those kinds of stories all the way through the book. So it's a book that lots of people would love.
Tell us where we should buy it.
Well, you can support your independent bookshop. So you could look online at Unity Books in Auckland and Wellington, Volume down in Nelson, Scorpio Books, Books here in Wellington. There's lots of bookshops around the country that will be stocking it, that you could do a wee order online and get it couriered to your mailbox.
Great. Well, tell me about Portiki by Patricia Grace.
Yeah, so this book I read such a long time ago, and it had an impression on me then, and I just for some reason really felt like reading it again, and I've got this great old copy. I think it's actually from the 80s. The book was published in 86, I think. And the cover of the copy I have is by Robin Kahukiwa, who lots of people will know is a really amazing artist.
Yeah.
And this book is such... to me, it really stands alone as a real New Zealand masterpiece as well. Patricia Grace's writing is so beautiful and so unique. And this story is completely heartbreaking in so many ways, because it is still so relevant. It's essentially about a family, a really beautiful family, and a tight community who kind of care for the land and have that amazing relationship with the land in place. But they have to fight developers who are trying to take their land away from them. And it's a story that has intense relevance to today, I think. Especially when we're kind of here contemplating our values and our families. So it's one of the most powerful books I think I've ever read. And actually, I think Portiki is about to be published as a Penguin Classic in Britain, which is an interesting and awesome thing. because it's definitely a novel that should be very, very widely read.
Yeah, does it have the reputation it deserves? Is it as famous as it should be?
I think within New Zealand, possibly it does, but it definitely probably doesn't internationally, and I think it's a book of international significance, particularly as societies all over the world are starting to finally recognise the intense damage done to Indigenous communities and why that's still an extremely contemporary concern. And I think this book really tells that story of the damage done and to family. So I think, yeah, I think it deserves, and Patricia Grace's writing deserves global recognition. But I think perhaps the publishing of it in this kind of Penguin context might give it that. But if you're out there and you haven't read this book, I think you really will get a lot out of it.
Great recommendation. It's called Potiki, P-O-T-I-K-I by Patricia Grace, and I'm talking to Claire Mabey about what she's been reading in lockdown. This is not, you might be surprised to hear, the first time Hilary Mantel's name has come up in this slot, Claire.
I know, it's kind of so hard to avoid it. It's interesting because I, like many people, these books have been so widely spread. So Wolf Hall came out, oh my gosh, I don't know how many years ago. So I read Wolf Hall, but then I didn't read Bring Up the Body. And that's the second in the series, and the third, of course, has just been released, The Mirror and the Light. So I have been catching myself up and reading Bring Up the Bodies before I tackle The Mirror and the Light, which is on my to-read pile. But she really is a kind of astonishing writer. That Bring Up the Bodies is so much fun to read. And it's, again, another book that is so relevant, even though it is essentially historical fiction. But the tone that she writes in feels so contemporary. So, I mean, for those who don't know, it's about Cromwell and Henry VIII and all of that kind of historical story that we all know quite well. But it's written from Thomas Cromwell's point of view. And it reads like a modern political thriller. And it's so good. It's so interesting to read. And all of that kind of the scheming and the kind of toxic ideas that take hold and manage to change the course of history feel really terribly relevant.
Yeah. What is it about the writing? Is it is her style particularly arresting, or is it just the quality of the story?
I think it's both. I think the style is quite unique. I can't kind of think of another writer who has the same ability to weave the interior life of a character with the external environment that they're in. There's something incredibly sharp and subtle at the same time about the way she writes this character, Thomas Cromwell, and you kind of almost feel like you're moving through the world as the character at the same time as you're observing him. So it's this, you really are immersed in the machinations of Henry VIII and his court and his dilemma. So I think she's an exceptional writer. And then the stories that she's telling are kind of famously dramatic. So I think the combination of the two is quite irresistible.
Okay, and you do have some new books next to your bed as well?
I've got so many because I have been ordering many books from New Zealand bookshops, which is not a hard task for me. I love books and I love receiving them in the mail. So I've got a huge pile, but I have read Anne Enright, the actress, or actress, really. So she's an Irish writer who won the Booker Prize a few years ago now for The Gathering. And this is her latest novel, and it's really interesting and intimate. So it's basically the story of a daughter writing about her mother, who was an actress in Dublin. And it's an interesting story because there's a slipperiness about it, because the daughter's memory is so intricate and detailed, it almost feels impossible at times that she could know so much about her mother's life. And she seems to kind of cross the boundaries a little bit from a reliable storyteller to someone who is perhaps embellishing detail or even misremembering or implanting memories onto things. So it's a really, it's an interesting novel in that sometimes it feels slightly memoirish, and you're really looking into the life of an actress in Dublin, of a Dublin of the past and a London of the past. And it's also really quite funny. Her mother, the mother is an eccentric person, and the life she led was unusual. So it's an interesting and a lively look at, a very intimate look at someone's life. And then by the end, she does really interesting, and Enright is a very clever writer, and she does interesting things with the idea of the mother-daughter relationship and the idea of remembering someone who was a parent but also an individual and had a life of their own, which is, I guess, something we all have to deal with, but that's not easy to do.
Great recommend. That one's Actress. And in fact, all of those books sound wonderful. Claire, maybe, thank you very much for your time. For people who want more information about joining up with your Verb membership, where do they go?
Yeah, they just go to verbwellington.nz/members.
Great. Nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Jessie.